Ramsey TV.
Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar here, coming to you from my car in Fort Lauderdale at 5:37 a.m. The Star of Bethlehem following me everywhere I go. I'm quite flattered about that, very happy about that. What a weekend I had. I saw Werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. Yeah, his hair was perfect. Today, I'm in 1 Corinthians 15, as you know, a very important chapter. Some call it the resurrection chapter. That's fine with me, because resurrection is the expectation of us in the body of Christ. We look forward to it early, before most of humanity, because we're special. That's just the way it is. 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. What does that mean? It means that we are looking forward to resurrection early. But I got this crazy thing about me that I make sense for a living. So I came to realize probably 25, 30 years ago that you can't have resurrection unless there's death. So I realized how important death was. I used to think that as a Catholic, of course, there's no such thing as death. As a Christian, there's no such thing as death. So I used to think that death was just the that resurrection was just the icing on the cake. Like somehow when you died, you didn't really die. You were in some halfway house in the heavenlies. And then when the resurrection occurred, you somehow got an upgrade. And it was just a little extra added, like icing on the cake. What a day it was when I found out that resurrection was not the icing on the cake. It was the whole freaking cake. The resurrection became huge to me. Indispensable when I realized that death was oblivion, that death was death, and that apart from resurrection, those who died would remain dead forever. As Paul says, if there's no resurrection, I believe he says it right here in this chapter, we'll get to it. Without the resurrection, the dead in Christ have perished. Ooh, that gives you a big clue about what death is. Apart from resurrection, the dead in Christ, that is those who have died in faith, have perished. Where are they now? They're perished. They don't exist. But, don't panic. Don't panic, because resurrection is coming for all, but we get an early taste of it. Such a huge word in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul begins to give over to the Corinthians and to us by extension the elements of his gospel. And the strange thing is that not even the most knowledgeable teachers in the body of Christ that I was ever in contact with through the 80s and the 90s, they themselves didn't understand the importance of believing in the death of Christ. I'm going to explain to you what I mean by this. And I started looking around and I'm like, am I weird that I see belief in the death of Christ to be of vital import? I mean, I considered myself like this scrapper coming onto the scene publicly in 1993, and I'm seeing this thing with the death of Christ, and I'm looking around and nobody is emphasizing the fact that a belief in the death of Christ is an essential of membership in the body of Christ. I'll get to that. It's still remarkable to me, but that's the way God does it. I'm the guy who saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's, so apparently I'm special. All right, here we go. I give over to you among the first, I'm in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2 or 3. I don't know which. It's hard to tell in the Concordant version. It doesn't matter. Who cares? There were no verses or chapters in the originals. I give over to you among the first what I also accepted, that Christ died for our sins. Such, right there, such a simple phrase, Christ died for our sins. But do you know who is alarmed by this simplistic statement? Satan. Satan is alarmed by it because it is so simple. What could be simpler? And if I went around to every church in America, every Christian church in the world, and said to the congregants there, pick a congregant, any congregant, and said, do you believe in the death of Christ for sin? Of course I do, they would say. Of course I do. But I would venture to say that zero of them do. And I mean zero. Zero out of millions and millions and millions of people. None of them truly believe in the death of Christ for sin. How is that possible? Because Satan is a wily enemy. And as I've been telling you for years, he cannot do anything to stop the fact that the cross of Christ happened. It happened publicly. It was not done in a corner. And so it's irrefutably historic. So what can he do, though? What can Satan do? He can lie about it, distract from it, and he can put tripwires in front of the essential elements of it, and that's just what he did. Let's start with the death of Christ. I've told you this many times before, but I'm going to give you an extra little detail that I haven't given you about the death of Christ. That somehow a punk from Ohio, like me, was somehow able to deduce from the presence of the Trinity, the false doctrine of the Trinity in the world, was able to deduce from that that a belief in the actual death of Christ was essential for faith. And I always have to remind you, by this I'm not saying that you have to believe in the death of Christ in order to be in the body of Christ. Don't panic. Don't get ahead of it. But the truth is, those who are designated beforehand for the body of Christ will believe in the literal death of Christ. The literal death of Christ and a belief in that is essential. Don't get mad at me about that. I didn't invent it. Paul's the one who said, this is why I have a childlike mind about this. And somehow this is why I've been able to apprehend this. God gave it to me. It's a childlike, okay, Paul's putting forward the death of Christ. And he's saying, that it's accepted by those who are in the body of Christ. I'm making known to you, brethren, the evangel which I bring to you, which also you accepted, in which also you stand. This is something that must be accepted and stood upon. That is the death of Christ. And if it's not, then there's no membership in the body of Christ, in which you stand, through which you are saved. You are saved through this declaration. Saved. What's the salvation of the context? Aeonian life. You are saved through this announcement, through this teaching. And it keeps coming up, especially, I'm sorry to say this again, but through Clyde Pilkington, it keeps coming up that doctrine doesn't matter, that our fellowship does not revolve around doctrine. What else does it revolve around? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God is doctrine. That Jesus Christ died for sins is doctrine. We don't fellowship around doctrine? Of course we fellowship around doctrine. A fancy word, doctrine, is for teaching. Those who say we don't fellowship around doctrine, we fellowship around what? They say we fellowship around behavior. What the hell does that mean? We all behave ourselves so we can hang out with each other. It doesn't matter if we believe, it doesn't matter what we believe. This is absurd, and I'm going to kill it whenever it raises its ugly head. And for some reason, Clyde Pilkington's pushing it. A. Enoch believed this also. People say, oh, Martin Zender, you love the Concordant Publishing Concern. I learned a lot from the Concordant Publishing Concern. You just, whatever A. Enoch says, who is the compiler of the Concordant version, which I respect a great deal, it's a very accurate translation. Whatever he says, you just go with it. That's not true. Because A. Enoch said that the basis of fellowship was not doctrine, was not teaching, was not belief, but the basis of fellowship was behavior. This is nuts. A. Enoch had a blind spot here, and he had a blind spot concerning the death of Christ. I'm not saying he didn't believe in it, but he thought it not essential. If you if someone actually believed that Jesus didn't die, that's all right. It's the same as believing that he did die. Like, you can be a Trinitarian according to A. Enoch and other people. I found this out by, you know, inference. I could tell by their writing that they just didn't think it was important if you actually believed in the death of Christ, or you really didn't believe in the death of Christ. You believed that Jesus was God, the same person as God, and therefore Jesus didn't really die. That was fine. That was fine to many, almost everybody in the, it was teaching in the concordant circles. It was fine to believe, it was the same to believe in the death of Christ and not to believe in the death of Christ. It was the same. And like I said, I'm a punk coming up from Ohio who has a childlike questions and understanding. And I'm like, how can it be the same? How can it be the same to believe in the death of Christ and not believe in the death of Christ? And the difference between believing in the death of Christ and not believing in the death of Christ was the Trinity. I mean, I'm not touting myself here. I guess I'm just giving my personal experiences of how when I came on this scene, if you want to call it that, and I'm looking into these truths, I'm saying, why isn't anybody emphasizing, why isn't anybody saying, telling us why the Trinity is in the world? Why is the Trinity, why does it exist? Yes, the Concordant Publishing Concern and A. Enoch and other writers in that realm, including James Corum, Dean Hoff, all these men I respected, men that came before them, mature writers in the truth, they all said that the Trinity was a false teaching, bad teaching. The Trinity denies the person of Jesus Christ. Christ's greatest glory was to do his Father's will. This is erased, this is destroyed when one thinks of Jesus Christ as the same being as the Father. Christ said he was the Son of God, and yet the Trinity, of course, in Christianity is the thing you have to believe in order to be saved. Funny thing, because the Trinity is actually the thing you have to dispose of in order to be saved. But of course, God's designation, again, comes first. Then those who are designated beforehand will believe the truth. Those who are not designated beforehand for membership in Christ's body will not believe the truth. They'll believe things like the Trinity and free will. The death of Christ. The death of Christ. As far as I know, I'm the first one in 2,000 years. Yeah, me. Martin Zender. The first one in 2,000 years to ask the question. That would have to be 1,960 years, because the Trinity came about in 300 AD, approximately, the Council of Nicaea. I'm the first one who asked, as far as I know, if somebody else, great. First one to ask, why the hell is the Trinity such a huge teaching? Why? Why is it here? Then I found out, 1 Timothy 4:1, that there were doctrines of demons, teachings of demons. And when I found out what a false teaching the Trinity was, I knew that if it was false, it must be a teaching of demons. And if it's a teaching of demons, then I asked myself, well, who's the chief of the demons? Satan. So then I asked myself why I felt like a lawyer in a courtroom, a prosecutor in a courtroom. I'm asking myself, what's Satan's motive for the most popular deception in all of Christendom, the Trinity? What's the motive? Why would it be so important for people to deny the death of Christ? 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 3, I give over to you among the first what I also accepted, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was entombed, he has been roused. Christ died. There it is. The death of Christ is essential. If it wasn't essential, then Satan would not have devised the Trinity. And you do understand that the most malevolent force in the universe, the most evil force in the universe, Satan, devised the Trinity somewhere up there, because Satan is not cast out of heaven until the future, until John describes it in the book of Revelation during the tribulation. So if he's not cast out of heaven until then, he's in heaven now. He's up there with other evil spiritual forces among the celestials. Read Ephesians 6. So Satan devised this. And we know that evil spirits work their will upon the earth. Through what? Through teachings. Religion, the word religion in the Greek, diasi daimonia, it means dread demonism. And for some reason, the same root word for demonism is the word for teach. Teach. So demons, their forte is teaching. And they lead the world astray from false teaching. That's why 1 Timothy 4:1, doctrines of demons. Oh, demons have doctrines? Yes, they do. They're false doctrines, and they insert them, they inject them into humanity through, oh, I don't know, things like church councils. And then they become popularized. It doesn't happen by accident. There is a motive. Again, Satan saw that the cross was undeniable. He saw what it did, couldn't change it. So he had to distract people from it and keep as many people as possible from believing in the essential element. And the first essential element is the death of Christ. So Satan asks himself, how can I keep? I mean, this thing's so obvious, the death of Christ. Who can deny it? Jesus Christ died. There he was, lying in the tomb, dead for 3 days. He said he would be dead. He prophesied. This is Satan talking. He said he would die. He did die. He was dead for 3 days. And it's so obvious. Only an idiot would not believe in it. How can I ensure that almost 99.9999999% of people who claim the name of Christ don't believe in the death of Christ? It's ingenious what he did. He injected the Trinity, the doctrine that Jesus, I know what I'll do. They all love Jesus Christ and they're all emotional and they want to do everything they can for Jesus Christ. So I'm going to make it so they make Jesus Christ God himself. They make Jesus Christ God himself. That way, since everybody knows God can't die, that way they'll actually believe that Jesus Christ didn't die. And they'll come up with this alternative theory that Jesus himself didn't die, but his body died. But the death of Christ's body is not the evangel. The death of Christ is the evangel. Oh, the subtleties we are dealing with here are, it seems simple when I explain it to you, but it's intricate as can be, so that even A. Enoch, even the most, you know, accurate scriptural scholars that I grew up reading don't understand this. They don't understand that belief in the Trinity disqualifies anyone from membership in the body of Christ. Disqualifies. You can't believe in the Trinity and be a member of the body of Christ. You can't, because it denies the death of Christ. Again, simple, simple, simple. But a lot of A. Enoch was emotional this way. He had a blind spot here because he hated to exclude anyone, you see, because in his history he was thrown out of the Plymouth Brethren. And he felt great pain, as anybody would, being disfellowshipped, a man who was seriously looking at the truth, wanting to know, and he was tossed out. And so that hurt him badly. This is my theory on it. And so ever since then, he like tried to include as many people as possible in the body of Christ. And so he would be writing brilliant exposés of Christian heresy, of the Trinity and free will and eternal torment. He would brilliantly expose. Nobody was better at exposing the errors of the nominal Christian, and he would just tear them apart, these people who are defending eternal torment, the Trinity, and free will. But at the same time, he would call them brothers. He would still respect them as brethren, even though they did not believe anything of Paul's gospel. How is it that you can believe in Paul's gospel, you believe in Paul's gospel and you're a member of the body of Christ, and you don't believe in Paul's gospel and you're also a member of the body of Christ? What is that? So the punk from Ohio asks that question. What is this? How can you not believe it and believe it and you get the same result? Didn't understand that. And how is it that the death of believing in the death of Christ is the same as not believing in the death of Christ? How is it? Oh, but Martin, you can't disqualify all these people from being in the body of Christ just because they all believe in the Trinity. That doesn't mean that they are not in the body of Christ. Yes, it does. punk from Ohio, simple-minded, mind of a child. Why is it this important? Why isn't this important? Why hasn't anybody asked what Satan's motive is? And what is his motive? He's in the heavens, and he knows that the body of Christ will usurp his authority in the heavens. They will replace him in the heavens. They will rule with Christ, and he's going to be cast out of heaven. So, I mean, he hates Israel. He hates Israel, but he's not as crazy about defending the earth as he is about defending heaven. And he knows that the death of Christ is essential. So he sends the Trinity, he devises it in heaven, sends it through into earth, through the Nicene Creed. It becomes the creed in Christianity. What a demonic twist. And so he has convinced hundreds of millions, I would say billions of people, that Jesus Christ didn't really die. But how great is this for him that these people are convinced that Jesus, that they're convinced in their own minds that they believe in the death of Christ, but they really don't. But they really don't. It's like they're unconscious. It's like these people are screwed up mentally. They say they believe in the death of Christ, but then when you press them, they don't believe in the death of Christ. They believe in the death of the body, of his body. Okay, so they're not saved by the resurrection of Christ then, aren't they? They're saved by the resurrection of his bones, his epidermis, his sinews, his skull. That's his body. We're not saved by his body, his literal bones, sinews, muscles. Hell no, we're saved by him. So this whole thing denies it. But when I started talking about this in 1996, holy Moses, I was mean. I was making the gospel too hard. I was eliminating too many people. I was a stickler for this, and I was... You know, people would come up to me and say, "You mean to tell me that so-and-so, who believes in the salvation of all, believes this, but just because they believe Jesus is God, you're telling me they're not in the body of Christ?" I go, "Yes, what I'm telling you." Because, you see, they were a respecter of persons. They're looking at this epic person, or whatever, and this eminent one in the concordant circles or whatever, and they're saying, "Well, surely this person is in the body of Christ." I said, "Well, does this person believe in the Trinity?" "Well, yes." Then they're not in the body of Christ. How can you say that? I'm not saying it. I'm flying by my instruments here. I'm looking at the Word of God. Paul's the one, not me. Paul's the one who said that one of the things that was accepted and that was part of salvation is belief in the death of Christ. But oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I was putting the bar too high. You're making it too high, too difficult for people to be in the body of Christ. You're making it too difficult, Martin. Because if what you say is true, then so many people who name the name of Christ aren't in the body of Christ. I'm, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry. It's not my fault. I'm just going by the scriptures here, and I'm seeing the motive of Satan. Why is it important for him that it's in here, that the Trinity's in the world, to disqualify billions from believing in the death of Christ, which is an essential teaching of Paul's gospel? Has Satan been successful? Oh, hell yeah. He has been extremely successful. But I am here, one of my things I'm here on the earth to do is to show people that this is a deadly doctrine, the Trinity. It's not just some false teaching that you have. Forget, that's okay. He's still in the body of Christ. Yeah, he has a little problem with the death of Christ, doesn't understand it, but yeah, he's still in the body of Christ because he believes in the salvation of all. He prays three times a day, whatever. I'm sorry. No, not in the body of Christ. Morton, you're so mean. I'm so mean. I'm just following Paul's gospel. Sorry. Not.